We live in every day of our lives in a tension. Do you realize that? Every day we're defining ourselves in a specific way, either by you are or by I am. If you define your life by you are, then that takes place when other people around you help you to decide who you are. They tell you how you're supposed to look, how you're supposed to dress, what you're supposed to eat, what you're supposed to think, how you're supposed to live. They just say, this is who you are. Sometimes they impose that upon you, but sometimes you invite somebody else to tell you, how am I supposed to look? What am I supposed to do? You tell me, and they will say, this is who you are. If you define yourself by I am, then that takes place when you clearly decide, I will define myself. I will choose what I think. I will choose what I believe. I will choose how I will live. I am who I say I am. But the Bible tells us God is the ultimate I am. That's how he revealed himself to Moses in the wilderness. But throughout Scripture, God is continually revealing himself as I am. In fact, one of the names that we use to talk about God in the Old Testament literally means I am. That's what makes it so critical that we understand what Jesus revealed through his I am revelations in the Gospel of John. And over the next 7 weeks, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be hearing Jesus himself say, this is who I am. When you see me, when you listen to me, when you hear what I'm trying to tell you and how I want you to live, you need to understand I am is speaking to you. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to be looking together at the I am sayings of Jesus as we continue to study the life of Christ. So let's jump in and let's begin to talk about what it means. He begins with, I am the bread of life. We had an interesting discussion before we began staff meeting this past week about the nature of cornbread. In fact, the question was this, is cornbread still cornbread if it's cooked in a square pan and not a round skillet? Is it really cornbread if you come out with those little square wedges instead of a slice of cornbread? And of course, we went from there to the very nature of cornbread itself. It was a stimulating conversation. But it reminds me of something that's very true, and that is that eating bread is a universal experience. Throughout history, wherever man has existed, bread has been part of his sustenance. We look at different ages, different civilizations, and we find bread. It takes different forms. It's made by different grains, but bread is always there. There's never been a time when man has existed and bread was not part of his diet. That's why it's important to realize that one of the ways Jesus described himself is to say, I am the bread of life. Well, when did he say that? Well, let me kind of set the picture for you. Imagine, if you would, that you have become part of a crowd of people who have come and sat around Jesus at the side of the Sea of Galilee to listen to him teach. It was mesmerizing. You saw the miracles he performed. You heard the teachings that were compelling, and you found yourself arriving early and staying late, and now the sun is going down, and Jesus realizes these people have been here all day long, and they don't have anything to eat, and he turns to his disciples and says, we got to give these people some food. Well, they scrounge around. All they can find is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And Jesus says, that's enough. And he prays and he begins to hand this bread to his disciples, and the disciples begin to scatter it to these people, 5,000 men and who knows how many others. Eventually, some of the bread comes to you. It becomes the most delicious bread you've ever eaten in your life. You find that you can't have enough. And every time they pass you another piece of bread, you eat it and you eat it until you look around and you realize not only are you full, but everybody around you is satisfied. And now they're picking up the broken pieces. It was unbelievable. You got up the next day after you went back home. You got up the next day And as you woke up, you only have one thing on your mind. Where is Jesus? I need to go to Jesus. I want to be there again. You have to go all the way around the Sea of Galilee to find where he is. But eventually you find him and you sit down. Now the miracles will be fine that day and so will the teaching. But what are you really thinking about? That bread. Is there going to be some more bread today? I want more bread. Jesus, instead of providing bread, calls himself the bread of life. And then he says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Now, what would be your reaction if you heard that for the very first time? I think I would sit back and think, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about bread, and all of a sudden, all of this flesh and blood, and you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and what's your reaction going to be? Intrigue? What's he talking about? Revulsion? I don't even like hearing this stuff. Curiosity? Fear? How do you respond? How do you respond today if you read that passage as though it were the very first time? That's why we need to know what Jesus meant when he called himself the bread of life. And the first thing I think Jesus wants us to know is simply this: the bread of life is an absolute necessity. If Jesus is the bread of life, that means he is the very source of life itself. People in his day did not consider bread the way we think of bread today. We think of bread as a side dish, something that's pleasant. It complements the meal. We like to know, is there going to be bread with this? But it's not essential. We like bread. I think about an Italian restaurant Judith and I loved up in Florence, Alabama. And you would sit down at the table there, and they bring out this fresh, hot bread with the oil and the spices. And you just dip that. And I remember, you know, I would be eating, and there'd be several loaves in the basket, and whenever Judith wasn't looking, I'd try to inch it closer to me. And it was really good, but I also understood this. This is just an appetizer. In a little while, the real meal will be here, and then I'll enjoy my food. For those who heard Jesus call himself the bread of life, bread was the meal very often. You had bread for an appetizer, bread for a main course, and bread for dessert, because bread was all there was. Without the nourishment that came from bread, people would have starved to death. It's still that way in a lot of places today. Bread was not an addition to your meal. Bread was a necessity for your life. No wonder Jesus called himself the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. That means we depend upon him for life itself. We need the bread of life. He's as essential for your spiritual survival as physical bread is for your physical bodies. If I don't have what only Jesus can give me, there is no hope for me. That's what it means to call him the bread of life. What does it mean to you this morning? It means Christ is not a nice addition to a life that is already comfortably full. It means you're not saying, well, I've already got the things I want to have, done the things I want to do, eaten the things I want to eat, enjoyed the things I wanted to enjoy, and now I'll add a little Jesus the way you might put a cherry on top. Instead, he is an absolute spiritual necessity. This is what the Bible says. Without Jesus, you are spiritually dead. If Christ is not real in your life, then you are dead. I don't say that. Jesus said that. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. No life. not a limited life, not a life that could be richer, not a life that is somehow limited. You have no life. Without Jesus, there's nothing. In other words, what he was saying is this: if the bread of life is not part of who you are, then you're going to die a spiritual starvation. Nothing matters apart from a personal relationship and a constant trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. The bread of life is necessary, but not only that, the bread of life gives you nourishment for living. Never forget all the benefits that bread provides. Your body takes the bread that you consume and it transforms it into strength and energy for the task of the day. It gives you what you need to face the challenges that are going to come your way. What does that mean? That means we remember Jesus is our eternal Savior, but more than that, he gives us the strength we need for a daily walk with him. Our guidance, our power for living, everything comes from Christ. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is not talking about a one-time experience. He is describing what it means to constantly come back to him and to be replenished the way only the Lord can fill you. Unless you are continually renewed, you're going to live a life that is spiritually depleted and anemic. You've got to have the strength that only comes from the nourishment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been really thirsty or incredibly hungry? Rich shared with me this morning that his wife tried to kill him yesterday. And lest you wonder, I said this in front of Susan this morning earlier. She had him out in the yard digging holes yesterday. And not only that, every time he tried to come inside, she would turn him around and push him back out into the yard. And there were seasons, Rich, when you were so thirsty, you thought you could not do another thing without a drink of water. And she still pushed you back outside. All of us have had those experiences, those times when we've been doing something and it just depletes everything. It steals the energy. Sometimes I get busy here at work and I kind of forget about lunch, and all of a sudden I'll look up and it'll be 2:30, 3 o'clock. And I just think to myself, well, there's no point in eating anything now. I'll wait for supper. And that works really well till about 5 o'clock in the evening. And then I have to stop and eat a snack. I have to do something. And then that revitalizes me. I'm ready to go again. We all need that drink, that food to eat, that thing that will renew us. And the thing that's true is we need the same thing from the Lord. Because the stresses and challenges of life can wear you down. You try to live out your life. You make hard decisions. You're involved in issues at work or issues at home or issues that just kind of drain you away. The temptations and the accusations of the enemy are constantly trying to drain away your spiritual resources. And if you're spiritually malnourished, you hit a wall. You will find that you have gone just as far as you can go apart from the Lord. Here's the thing. That usually doesn't happen quickly. It's not an instant impact. In fact, you may be able to go for days at a time neglecting to be nourished by the Lord. But eventually, it's going to come. You're going to crash and burn. You're going to face discouragement and fear. And you're going to wonder, what on earth has happened to me? Life has a way of sapping your strength and stealing your hope. I don't know how many people I have talked to in the last couple of weeks who have just told me, "I am so tired of COVID. Well, that was pretty true. We could see that when we all hated our masks together. And most people are not saying, I am tired of being afraid of this disease. Mostly what they're saying is, I'm tired of my life being turned upside down. I'm tired of not being able to see the people I want to see. I'm tired of not being able to go the places I want to go. I'm tired of having to stay apart from people I really care about. I'm tired of not being able to even shake somebody's hand or hug their neck. I am tired of this stuff. And it's beginning to have an effect, a discouraging effect, and it's beginning to deplete you, and you wonder emotionally, how much longer am I going to be able to deal with this? Seasons like these are the times when we really need to remember my strength comes from my dynamic relationship with Christ, with emphasis on that word dynamic. A living walk with the living bread. You need what only He can give, the nourishment that comes from the bread of life. You have to draw fresh strength from exploring His Word. You need the renewal that comes from seeking Him in serious personal prayer, the provision that only comes from the empowering of His Holy Spirit, because that's the only place it can come from. Most of the time, when people neglect those things in their lives, when believers neglect time in the Word, when believers neglect time with God in prayer, when we ignore our spiritual well-being, it's not because you've given up on the Lord, or you've turned from your faith, or you're experiencing real doubt. Most of the time, we neglect those things when we just say, you know, I just don't have time right now. There are too many distractions at this point. The day is going to come when I'll catch up, when I'll stay close to God again, when I'll renew my faith, when I'll get back to those things I know I need to be doing, but not today. There's just not enough time. But what you're really saying is this: I can make it all right on my own terms. I don't really have to have this time with God because I got enough strength in myself to get it done. I don't need to seriously depend upon the Lord. Let me tell you something. And if that's your attitude this morning, if you have been saying to yourself lately, with all the things going on and all the complications and struggles, I just don't have time right now. That's a sign of serious spiritual malnourishment. That means you think you're making it all right by yourself, but you're not. In fact, you need the Lord more than you ever have. What would happen to your spiritual life if you transformed reading your Bible from a duty to seriously looking for a message from God Himself? What if every morning you sat down with your Bible, or every evening, or whatever part of the day you need that time, and you opened the Bible up and you said, God's going to tell me something today, and I need to see it. I know God has a message. It's going to be just what I need. It's going to speak to my need. It's going to speak to my desire. It's going to speak to my fear. It's going to speak to me. And when I see it, I'll know God's saying that to me today. Because that's what happens when you're serious about the bread of life. What would happen if you transformed your prayer life and instead of saying, this is just another obligation, before I can get on with my day, I need to do this, and thought about it as having the opportunity to have God's attention on you for just a few minutes? You know, for most of us, if someone said something like this to you, the president is going to see you, but you'll only have 4 minutes, and then you have to move on, we would be serious about what we would say in those minutes we were being given. The Bible says you can come to God and he's listening. His attention is on you. It is an incredible privilege. Don't miss that opportunity to let him build you up. When you make time with Christ a priority, you discover the renewal and refreshment that can only come from him. And you will always have the same experience. When you've been through that season of neglect, and then you turn back and spend some rich time with God, you're always going to ask yourself the same question: why did I wait so long? Why did I think other things were more important? How could I have neglected this the way I have? He is the bread of life, and he wants to nourish you. And then Jesus wants you to know this, and the bread of life is your greatest need. Listen to this incredible promise. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. What is it saying? Jesus gives you life, but more importantly, he gave his life that you could live forever. If you hear nothing else I say today, hear this. Jesus is the only way you can afford to face eternity. The only way. You may think you can live without him now, but you can't live without him in eternity. He is your only hope. Jesus is your hope for forgiveness of sin. Jesus is your hope for a transformed heart. Jesus is your hope for a future in heaven and not an eternity in hell. Jesus is the one who will cause you to live forever. And nothing can take his place. He is the bread of life. And he is the one who will nourish you and transform you into an eternal child of God. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." It sounds so ordinary until you realize it means it was his body broken for you, his blood shed for you, his life given for you, so that you could live forever. Nobody else has ever loved you like that. Nobody ever will. He promises you eternal life in the future, but also eternal life every moment of every day. He invites you to come and partake. Partake of the bread of life. Because here's the thing. He provides the bread of life. He is the bread of life. But you choose what you're going to do with it. Will I receive it for myself? Will I allow it to empower me, to strengthen me, to cause me to survive? Or will I turn away from that, even knowing eternal consequences? You choose. I need the bread of life. And maybe today you need the bread of life because you're not a believer. You're not a Christian. There's never been that time in your life when you intentionally said to Jesus Christ, "Come into my life, forgive my sins, and become my Savior." It's just never happened. And you know it needs to. And you feel him calling you in the depths of your heart. Maybe today is the day when you need to receive Christ as Savior. If it is, then in just a moment when we sing our invitation hymn, if you'll just slip up your hand and let me know, "Today's the day I want to become a believer," then after the service, I'll look forward to spending some time helping you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe there's another decision you need to make. Maybe God's calling you to become part of this fellowship. You need to raise your hand. "I need to become part of the church because I want to feed every week on the Word of God with the people of God." Or maybe there's a particular issue in your life and you just need to pray with somebody about it. slip up your hand. The staff and I will be outside. We'll be looking forward to meeting you. Jesus is calling you. I'm the bread of life. I want to make you whole. I want to fill your life. Will you trust him? Let's stand together. Let's sing. Good day in God's house. And the challenge for us now is to go out depending upon the bread of life to do in us and for us what we cannot do without him. Let's bow together for our final prayer and then our last song. Father, we do thank you that you're the bread of life. You're the essential that we've got to have. And Lord, you nourish us and you promise us, and we depend upon you, and we find in you everything we need. Help us, Lord, this week to walk with Christ, the bread of life. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Praise God from the blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly. To the conclusion of our time of worship. As we depart now to serve, we're going to begin in the very back rows. If you would begin to make your way out, and then as you would follow along, keeping a safe distance, and make your way to the outside. God bless you.